is now 5:30. I'd like to call the Woodway City Council meeting to order at this time. Before I do, I want to wish everybody a very happy new year, and thank you all so much for being here, staff, council, and our guests, and so excited to kick off the first meeting of the year. So let's open it up at 5:30 p.m. Our first item is our invocation. I'd like to ask Mrs. Gilman if she wouldn't mind leading us in our prayer for this morning, for this evening.
Father, we thank you that we can enter your gates with thanksgiving and with praise. We're so thankful to live in the country that we live in the community that we live in. And we're grateful that we live in a country that acknowledges you mm-hmm. as Lord and Savior and the standard that we seek to live by. Father, keep us mindful of those around us that are in need, that are hurting, that need a touch and an encouraging word. Bring our hearts together in unity. Bring our thoughts together in making wise decisions and seeking the future for Woodway. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Gilman. Our second item this evening is our Pledge of Allegiance. If you're able, please rise as we give pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Moving on to item number three, this is our public comment time. The City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except for public hearings, which are not included on the agenda. Comments related to the public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The timer will be on the screen behind us right here. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your understanding and cooperation. Is there anybody at this time who would like to address council? Yes, sir. Please come forward. If we can get your name, please, sir.
My name is Johnny Williams, and I live at 80 Sugar Creek Place. And the reason I'm here today, my home at 80 Sugar Creek Place partially flooded 3 times by a broken water main, April the 14th, 24th, 2012. March the 8th, 2023, and November the 6th, 2023. The water department has admitted responsibility, cleaning it up outside each time, but has refused to pay for the cleanup inside my home. Each time, I had specialty refrigeration clean and dry my rugs and remove the mud and dirt from my house. The fault is with the water main that belongs to the water department. They admit this. The water department clearly admits the cause of the damage was their equipment. I have been told by their workers that the water main runs under my property. This home was built to city code and has city, as was the city water department water main. I would like 2 things. I'd like to be paid for the cleanup, which was caused by the water. And I would like to be assured that this will not happen again. After 3 times, that's enough. With the water department person in charge, I'd like to have a meeting with the water person in charge, and he can show me how the water main runs. I've been told that it's been plugged, the water main under my house, but I don't know this. Nobody's explained this to me. I would like to see this on a plat. I've been told that the water under the property has been capped. I would like to know more planes about this. And if not, I would like to know how you can make a mess and not pay for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I'm Joe Yelderman at 706 Woodland West, and I want to speak on the development on the sensitive zone. I think the Starlight Estates is the name. And I spoke last time when we had, a public hearing, and I was asked two questions I'd like to address. One of them was, how do you explain those homes that are in that area that aren't having problems? And all I can say to that is that when they first build homes, they hardly have had any problems at all, and it's over time that they develop. And over time, more homes and more roads and more utilities and more things will have problems in that area than they will have on the more stable foundation of the Austin Chalk in the older part of the town. So it's a matter of time, and it's a matter of numbers. Not everyone will fail, not everyone will have a problem, but there will be more there than elsewhere. The second one I would like to, that I was asked was, if this has already happened when they cleared the brush early, perhaps incorrectly, not watching the ordinance, what do you do then? What do you do now? And I think the fair thing that we could say that could be done now is that if these things are constructed in a manner that is equal to and fair to all those in the citizens, in other words, they won't have more problems than the other part of town, then they should be willing to share their tax burden with their utilities and their street repairs and so forth in that section of town compared to the section in town that doesn't have that problem, where the ordinance doesn't exist in the same way. You may think about how to do that and so forth, but if it's really built right, then they shouldn't have problems. But I think what we'll find is that they will over time, and it'll be more expensive. And if the city shares it, it's going to make our taxes perhaps unfair compared to theirs if the ordinance wasn't followed. So that's my comment for you today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anybody else to address council at this time? Okay, there being no other comment, we will move on to item number 4, which is our quarterly presentation from the Public Safety Department's report regarding crime statistics and law enforcement activities in the first quarter of fiscal year 24. Chief Al-Halabi, Happy New Year to you, sir.
Thanks, sir. You as well. Mayor, Council, thank you for this opportunity. In our continued efforts to encourage professional development, Captain Graves will be assisting me with the presentation of our quarterly statistics. A little bit about Captain Jason Graves, 16 years of combined experience, approximately 10 years with the Woodway Public Safety Department, special investigator with the Secret Service in their International Crimes Against Children Unit, team leader of our SWAT team, paramedic, bachelor's degree in criminal justice, master peace officer, master structure firefighter, master fire investigator, master fire inspector, critical team member in our department, and truly another example of the great caliber we have here at Woodway. So I'm going to let him take over, and I'm here as well to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, I appreciate this opportunity. At this time, I'd like to direct your attention towards the PowerPoint presentation here. We have a couple of slides here for this fourth quarter. The quarter at the end of this year is marked by a lot of community events on Woodway Public Safety's behalf. One of the most notable is up there with the six individuals behind the fire truck. That's our National Night Out event, big, large-scale event throughout the nation, obviously. We also do lots of talks and tours with schools. That's our Canine Shaka, Corporal Hilliard there at one of our local elementaries. Looks like a couple of those kids took it a little too far and got Corporal Miller there towards the end. We also have, we got to be a part of a special event this year, Toys for Tots Toy Drive. That's the youth ambassador there in that blue shirt. Wonderful, wonderful host for that event. We also had Santa arrive in the Peacekeeper. And I believe everybody here met our newest officer, Public Safety Officer Charlie Crockett. That's him there in that photo of on his graduation. He's currently making his way through our field training at this time. Next slide, please. All right, here are the numbers from our fourth quarter statistics here. I'd like to direct your attention towards the bottom. We're going to cover the top four offenses. We'll start with the all other larceny down there. That's a little bit down from last quarter. That is basically larceny for us is theft not by force. So we get a lot of that through shoplifting. HEB, Walgreens, 7-Eleven, that's where we see most of those, especially towards this time of the year. we see an uptick in that. Driving under the influence stayed about the same as last year, and our drug and narcotics violations did rise slightly. This quarter, our narcotics violations consisted mainly of methamphetamine, heroin, and some marijuana usage. We also had some simple assaults. Those are non-felony assaults. Those are all threat by force and misdemeanor type assaults. Our police calls for service back up towards the top. That's down from last year from the 5,349 of about a 25% decrease. Our reports taken stayed pretty close to the same from 117 to 109. Online solicitation is still at zero. Thank goodness for that one. Burglary, we're going to circle back and talk about that on the next slide. Fire and EMS calls for service is up slightly at about a 16% increase, 462 to our 399 from last year. Our accidents stayed pretty close to the same, 36 from 32. Our thefts, again, about the same, and our sex crimes. That one that's on there, if you notice our Facebook post here recently, that's that one in full explanation there. Also, our VCO calls for service, that's a violation of city ordinance. I believe everybody knows about those. That's kind of our dog and cat offenses, junk cars, that type of stuff. Those are going to be up slightly at a 13% increase from 213 to 241, and our arrests are up from an 18% increase, 106 from the 90. Our assaults, we just spoke about that a while ago, from the 7 from last year to 10 this year. Our traffic stops and citations are down. Our traffic stops roughly about 46%, and our citations are down about 26%. Our weapons violations stayed roughly close to the same. Next slide, please.
So I wanted to bring a little attention to the burglaries during the holiday season. Last quarter, from July to September, we had 4 burglaries within our city. We are noticing a trend during the holiday season of increases in burglaries. Of course, that's when a lot of vehicles get broken into. That's when a lot of homes get broken into in businesses for the products during the Christmas season. We speaking to our sergeants, there was a concerted effort to try to get that number to zero during this holiday season. With our limited resources, once you take officers off the streets and you designate them to the residentials, to the businesses, majority of burglaries occur in homes between 8 and 5 because people know that you're at work. Majority of vehicle burglaries occur in the evening time overnight. So there's really not a specific time where we can protect these businesses and homes and vehicles except all the time. So our goal was to zero it out this quarter, and we did just that. Again, once you have more officers in the residentials, officers don't have the time to do officer-initiated activities, i.e. traffic stops being down. So I wanted to give you that comparison and let you know I can't find a holiday quarter in our books where we were able to have absolutely zero burglaries. No vehicle was, nothing was taken from a single vehicle, nothing was taken from a single home, nothing was taken from a single business during the holiday season in our city. And that's a testament to the individuals on these officers on the street. So I wanted to bring that to your attention to give you kind of our goal this holiday season. And I can absolutely guarantee you there were individuals driving through our city who saw police cars and just decided to go somewhere else. There's no other. Zero doesn't happen. unless you're really working hard on it. So next slide.
Questions?
Strong finish. Hey, yeah. That's really great about the zero burglaries. Yeah, awesome.
I think it's because we got the right police chief and something to do with that 7-foot policeman, maybe. Yeah.
I could not agree more.
Captain Graves,
thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Chief, yeah. Captain Graves, thank you so much. Really thank appreciate you. That. Very, very encouraging. Item number 5 is our quarterly presentation from Community Services and Development. This is their report regarding progress on new construction, anticipated completion dates, and the issuance of certificates of occupancy and inspection statistics for the first year of fiscal year 24. Mr. Davidson, hello.
Good evening, Council.
Good evening. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody. Glad to see you. Full house. Everybody survived the holidays. So. This will be quick. This is going to go over the past quarter. We're going to see some pictures of different developments and homes that are going on. The Charleston Park area is down in what we call Cotton Crossing. It's on the going down on the what the seasoned veterans of what we call the old golf course. Mm-hmm. But that's these Charleston Park homes. They're finally seeing those move forward. Next slide. Heather Run is the same area, just around the corner. They're finishing up these Heather Run homes, which is, they've been a long time coming, so we're encouraged that they're moving forward with this one. The Westlake Addition is finished with all of its construction, and I believe the developer has lots for sale. He's not pulled a building permit yet, so it's still moving forward, though. Next slide, please. Estates Drive is a fill-in lot that is moving forward. We're starting to see a lot of the lots in town that have been either they're rebuilds or they're vacant. This one is actually going down towards the lake. It was an old house that I believe a family member inherited, and they tore down the old house and they're building a new one. So, next slide, please. Stone Lake Drive is Lake Forest Phase 2. These are down on the lake in that area. Cedar Creek is Lake Forest Phase 3, which is same area, general area, but closer to City Hall area as you go over than that area. White Oak is an infill lot over in the Oak Streets, is what I call them, over by the Woodway Elementary School. Harbor Drive is another infill lot that is, this one I believe is finished now. It's got a sign for sale for it, so he has finished building this one. North Ritchie is Badger Ranch Phase 6, I believe, and Sendero Drive is actually Phase 2. These are Badger Ranch lots on the west side of town. Denali Drive, Sequoia Lane, Boothville Court, and I believe the next two are also, these are all part of the Tanglewood development. This is where we're seeing most of our homes going up right now. It's really, at this point, one of the last developments with platted lots, so the builders are really hitting it hard. Old McGregor Road is an infill lot over in the general area of the Tanglewood area. It's a house going up by itself on an infill lot. Bradford and Rainbow Lake are similar, but on the east side of town, there are infill lots that have been going forward. I believe Bradford is over pretty close to, you know, Miss Gilman's home, and Rainbow Drive is in the Rainbow Lake area. So these are more commercial properties that we have going on. 135 Estates, Suite B is in the old gas station project where the chocolate chair put in. This is the suite beside it. He's doing a finish out there for, it's a retail store.
A
retail store.
Okay.
1100 States Drive is the family center. It is finished. They've got their temporary CO. The last thing I believe is going to be showing y'all later tonight, which is, I believe, the parking lot. 104 Burnett Court is the eye clinic. It's in Burnett Court. It's right there beside the child care facility. Merrifield, this is just the picture that you guys approved for us last year. We did finally get a good picture. This is out at the city shop. We built a new building for the water department to store their equipment in, so we just wanted to get a picture so y'all could see what it finally turned out to. 13,701 Woodway Drive is over in the Outlook, and that's the steakhouse that I'm sure y'all have seen in the paper. It's had some different stories done on it. It's progressing. Next slide, please. I believe the quarterly figures for the inspection department are the next sheet. And talking to the building department, we're seeing steady development and growth. Nothing big, not really slowing down yet, but we're hearing from our smaller, the other cities that's still coming. There's some slowing down going on, but we haven't seen it yet. We're still building fast. So that's it for today. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Davison?
Nope.
Great job. Thank you, sir. Great report. Okay, that's it for our presentations. Moving on to our public hearings. Item number 6A is a public hearing on a request for renewal of general special use permit received from SBA Communications Corporation for the operation of a T-Mobile wireless communication tower at 13013 Old McGregor Road, Woodway, Texas. Time is now 5:49. I will open the public hearing at this time. Is there anybody to speak in favor of this special use permit?
We have a representative, Ms. Barbara.
Yes. Thank you, Council. My name is Madison Barbarette. I'm here on behalf of my client, SBA Communications. This is an extension of an existing special use permit. I believe that this specific SBA Communications has been at this property for a number of years now. I think it's probably getting close to 20 at this point. but we're just seeking to extend it. I believe the extension is for another 5 years. To my knowledge, there are no changes. I've confirmed that with my client. There are no changes being planned for the property. I know that was a question that was raised at the Planning and Zoning Commission, whether or not there are any questions or concerns about that. Wanted to confirm that there are no planned changes or developments or anything that's going to change the current usage of the tower. The plan is to continue offering telecommunication services to the city of Woodway.
Very good. Any questions before we let her sit down? Thank you, Ms. Barber. Appreciate it. Anybody else to speak in favor? Anybody to speak in opposition for the special use permit? Okay, there being none, I will close the public hearing at 5:51 p.m. Thank you all very much. Item 6B is discussion and consider action on the request for renewal of general special use permit received from SBA Communications Corporation for the operation of a T-Mobile wireless communication tower at 13013 Old McGregor Road, Woodway, Texas. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you all. Mr. Manager, item 6B, please.
I would add, the application is in your packet on page 18, a map. We also have it on slide number 28, Ms. Barkley. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the area right there at Ritchie Road at Old McGregor, and the notification of the neighbors is on page 22. We didn't receive any negative or any comments, really, from the neighbors. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Council, is there any discussion on item 6B?
We're being paid so much for this antenna to be on our tower, correct?
This is a different tower. This is an independent, privately owned and operated tower.
Just all we're doing is approving it being there.
Correct.
And basically we'll get a tax revenue for the value of that. Is that correct?
I'll have to check to answer that. I don't know if cell towers are exempt or what, Ms. Barbara.
I can check on that and answer the question.
I was just wondering if, you know, if there's any financial situation on that at all. You know, are we making any money or what's happening from that standpoint?
Great. Any other questions? Any other discussion? We'll get you the answer to that.
Oh, how tall is the tower?
I don't know. Mitch, do you know how tall that tower is?
Probably the application of that, I guess. No, it's not in the application. I would say it's no more than 150, 200 feet.
What was that, 150 to 200? Okay. Any other questions?
No.
All right, there being no other questions, no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion on item 6B, please.
I move that we accept the application.
I second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously, and the general special use permit is renewed. Thank you all very much. That closes our public hearings. Moving on to items for individual discussion, consideration, and or action. Item 7 is discussion and consider action on approval of final plat for Starlight Estates, Block A, Lots 1 through 32, Blocks B, Lots 1 through 5, Block C, Lots 1 through 8, and Block D, Lots 1 through 20, being 112.60 acres, situated within the J.Q. Merrifield Survey, abstract number 620 to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas. May I have a motion to open this for discussion, please?
I'll make a motion to open.
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Dr. Oubre, item number seven, please.
Just a few things. The Planning and Zoning heard this and took action on December 12th at their last meeting and recommends approval of the final plat. The application for Mr. Lane is on page 24 of your agenda. The documents from FEMA are on page 26, and the site plans are on page 37. We have slide 32, Ms. Barkley, please. And that's the track of land we'll be discussing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. All right. So, Council, this is for the final plat of Starlight Estates. Is there any discussion, any questions on this item?
Would we have citizens, a time for citizens to speak on this?
No,
I would like to just say for the record, prior to my becoming a council member, I had voiced opposition to the plan of this development, mainly because there was no well thought through plan for the infrastructure that was to be deeded to the city of Woodway. And that, as our friend Dr. Yelderman has shown in his original study, and as the developers' own engineers have shown in their studies, there is no permanent way to mitigate the movement of the soil in this development, in this escarpment zone, which is unstable. And once the infrastructure for the roads and the sewage and the water and everything is deeded to the city of Woodway, as Dr. Yelderman pointed out, we may for a short period of time have no problems, but over the long term, it is virtually inevitable that we will have problems. And our city, both in the planning and zoning level and in our city council, have not adequately addressed these concerns. It is my, I've made suggestions that there are ways to mitigate this and put the risk where it belongs, and that's with the developer, with the homeowners association. And I only voice this again because I know it's going to pass with me voting against it. But there should be conscious, thoughtful care given to what's going to happen to the potential burden to the Woodway citizens relative to increased taxes and future maintenance on this infrastructure in future years.
I have a question for our city engineer. We approved a development several years ago and then found out that we did not have adequate water line to supply that. What's our water line source to that development?
What, I'm not aware of what development we're talking about that doesn't have adequate water.
Well, Tanglewood, we end up having to spend almost $1 million to put another water line in. It was too small. It was adequate for what was there. But by the time we added 400 homes, I believe you even said in one of the meetings, if there was a fire on one of the back lots, we might not have the water for that.
That's not correct. I mean, yes, we are adding an additional line, but it's not for that development. It's
okay, but on this situation, do we have adequate
yes.
water? I don't want to see a situation where, I mean, what size of the water line do we have feeding it, and is it feeding a lot of other homes in the area?
Right. As part of this development, we did an engineered study and updated our water model to include the proposed lines and ran the model and demonstrated that it has adequate fire pressure and water to serve the area.
Okay.
Yes.
That we didn't do on the
We did that on that one, too. That one's the same thing. We do that on all developments. We check those.
We ended up having to do, like you said, another water line. But here's another question. I noticed, it's wonderful that we had so much background information on this. Looks like we had almost 200 pages of engineering works, and I appreciate that. I noticed we're having three lift stations in this.
That's correct.
And I'm assuming the developer's paying for those lift stations.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Who's paying for the electricity for these lift stations?
Oh, it'd be the city of Woodway, like every other lift station in the city.
Okay, so we will be paying electricity. Okay.
Well, what, you know, it just occurred to me. Mr. Williams spoke earlier about the situation with his house, with the water line that runs under his house having failed three times, and that the damage to his house, since the water line is city owned, that such damage should be paid for by the city. This is, in a very small way, almost a perfect parallel example of what could happen with this development relative to infrastructure owned by the city and how it might burden the taxpayers of this community later on. Just an observation.
Let me ask, is there a representative of Starlight Estates or Connor Lone, Connor Lane here today?
Connor and I are here on Trent with Bowman.
Okay.
Consulting to answer your question that's pertinent.
Do these plats represent the entirety of the property that you own, or have you perhaps set aside certain areas of that you plan not to develop because of unstable soils?
I don't own it personally, though. That's what we're asking?
Yeah, that's for this guy right here.
I think every bit of land is planned.
Sure. My name is Mark Furman. I'm counsel for Western Star. The plat that you see up here with the land that's owned by Western Star, not all of that's going to be developable because of some of it's on the 503 line. So it's not everything is going to be done or developed, but this is the extent of the subdivision. That is the extent of the land that is owned by Western Star, to my knowledge. That is the plat that is to be approved. And so the idea is to get all these things done and to have the subdivision built out. I will say that the property owners that eventually are going to own something here aren't getting a free ride. They will pay property taxes just like anyone else. So they will be contributing to utilities, not just in their neighborhood, but to other neighborhoods. And so, you know, there's a lot of talk here about the escarpment zone. I get that, understand that. I've known Dr. Yeldeman a long, long time. He's been my neighbor. He taught me the formula on how to hit a baseball in Little League, and I have a lot of respect for him. But only about 7% of this development is actually in the escarpment zone itself. The rest is in a geologically sensitive area. A lot of the subdivisions right now, including a lot of pictures we saw, are in geologically sensitive areas. Badger Ranch, Badger Ridge, Lake Forest, West Lake, which just got done. And only about 2% of this subdivision is going to be disturbing area that's actually in the escarpment zone itself. And so while I certainly respect and understand a lot of the concern, I think, in Woodway as being a longtime resident here is what you see, what was the developments west of Bosque back in the 70s and everywhere else. We've come a long way since then. There's been a lot of engineering on this report. Alliance Engineering did its geotechnical report, made its recommendation. The city hired a third-party engineer in Langerman, which read those recommendations and has approved it. We've met every requirement and comment by the city and the city engineer and their staff. And so we're in compliance with all the ordinances. The plat's in compliance. And I don't believe any comments have been coming from staff or anything else that needs to be done. So if there are any other questions that anyone has, I'm happy to address those as best I can.
Dr. Avant, did that answer your question?
Okay. Does the city staff have a recommendation relevant to this item?
I believe city staff is recommending
and
approval.
And P&Z approved it.
I'm asking for the input from the city staff.
City staff's approved the record and recommends approval.
All right, thank you.
And the land under the 503 will be under city lots. There won't be any public land in this development, correct?
No, I don't think anything. The only thing that would be public, which is ever dedicated to the city as far as whatever utilities and everything else goes.
So like, for instance, the lift stations would not be part of anybody's lot, but that would be a city property or become a city property at some point.
I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're
saying. The lift stations. There's three lift stations.
The lift stations, I'm not familiar with the plans enough to know what to say, but if they're owned by the city and the city's going to be paying for it, I don't really know the answer to that, but I can have
it. Would they
be
installed by the developer?
I'm sorry?
They'd be installed by
the developer. That's my understanding.
Yes. I imagine they'd be deeded over along with the sewer lines, the water lines, and the streets.
Correct. Do we have any other questions for Mr. Furman? Dr. Event, did we get all your questions answered?
You
okay.
Fine.
Thank you, Mr. Furman.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All righty. Council, is there any further discussion on this item? Looks like we have all the information that's been reviewed by city staff, and they're approving everything, so I don't see anything that's out of order on here.
There's a lot of background information in here for us, about 200 pages.
All right. Well, if there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion on item number 7.
I move that we approve the final plat for Starlight Estates.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Don't count me.
Nay. Count me as nay, please.
All right, let's just do that again.
I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Let's just do it again for clarity.
Take back.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
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 All right, the ayes have it with 2 nays.
Yes.
And the final plat for Starlight Estates is approved. Thank you all. All right. Moving on to item number 8, discussion and consider action on the addition of insulation and climate control on the approved CTX Incorporated precast restroom facility at the Arboretum for an amount not to exceed $23,750,000 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
One correction. It's not $23,750,000.
Let me open up this item first. Hang on one second.
All right.
Motion to discuss, please. Motion to discuss.
So moved.
Moved.
Second.
And seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, item number 8, please.
Well, hello. Happy New Year again, everybody.
Happy New Year, sir.
So I think Councilman Keeson, what you're referring to, so that's the additional amount. At the last meeting, we were able to secure the restroom, the precast restroom, as is described from the last meeting, which was $109,903. We still estimate it's going to be $15,000 to $20,000 to make all the connections and set it and get it operational. But the question came up the night of the meeting about, can it be climatized? I wasn't sure if the best option would be to retrofit it or if there was a more cost-effective option. Through my research and discussion with the manufacturer and other folks, there really isn't. So the total, if council is interested in having it heated and cooled, that total, instead of the 109, would jump to 133,653, and that would still—that's not inclusive of the 15 to 20 to make the connections. So total, you're looking at $153,653 for a turnkey, separate men and women's restroom, climatized, which is about $3,653 over our $150,000 budget. If it's maxed out at $20,000, which it probably will be.
And this is coming from hot money. This is not taxpayer funded.
Correct, yes, sir.
And we have the money for this.
Yes, sir. So the option, if council chooses to climatize those units, I've already talked with Brenda, and we can make an adjustment in the spring, which she's going to bring to you all, and I believe it's in March.
Oh, okay.
I know inflation has been awful, but it wasn't that many years ago you could build a 1,500 square foot, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house for that money.
Yeah. I built a 1,400 square foot single family residence for less than that.
Yeah. I mean,
4 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know this is easy, but ouch. Now, this air conditioning, is it? Did this include insulation? They were talking about sweating on the walls.
Yes, sir. That's
so. Maybe half of it was insulation, and half of it's for the heating and air.
The units.
I'm not still honestly sure I understand the insulation part of it because it's precast. It's just 4 or 5 inch thick concrete. So I don't know how they do the. I don't know how they do the insulation on it, but that's in their little checklist of options that comes with the HVAC.
I'm just curious. It was this solar powered or electric?
It's electric, sir.
Currently, we have one that is heated or at least cooled. Is it the one at Midway Park? Is that correct?
I don't know, ma'am. Okay. Mitch, can you answer that?
There's two at Woodway Park.
Right.
Woodway Park, and they're not AC.
Neither one.
Okay, so not, we don't have any AC. We only have, like, a fan.
Is the one at Whitehall? Whitehall is not AC.
No, the Whitehall and Pogue, they're older, and they're not these.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this would be good for the Arboretum because of the splash pad and everybody getting in there and getting wet and changing and a lot of moisture and humidity going in there is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Councilwoman Cook brought up before the meeting, is there an option to make it slip resistant since children will be coming in wet, presumably?
Short grip over there.
I don't know the company, the folks that make the stuff for bar backs, the rubber floors with the holes. I'm sure there's an option we can come up with. Yes. If
it's about $23,000.
So where are the units going to be located?
So after a few, I'm sorry, the units?
Yeah.
So for the aesthetical standpoint, because it would be great if it was on top, just from the standpoint of, you know, where it's going to be located, you're going to see it from Bosque and coming in.
Yeah, from my understanding, there's a pathway about 3 feet or so in between both units that's accessible for maintenance, and they're little split units.
Mini splits.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there a way that we can still move forward without
to save our place in line, we have an order in for the one that is not climatized.
Okay.
I asked them if they would hold it at least. We've got until the 12th to make a modification, i.e. to climatize it or not without incurring any additional cost.
So. I think it's a neat feature to have over there, especially since it's not coming out of the ad valorem taxes. Mm-hmm.
I like to be good on our taxes. No matter how we spend the money, no matter what pocket it comes out of.
But it's earmarked just for this type of stuff.
Yeah.
This particular,
but you still have to be competitive.
This particular bucket.
Not say it's free money.
So define climatized.
Well, that was the term they use. I say heat and air conditioned.
Okay, that was my assumption as well. But I just for the listening public, understand that if it's climatized or conditioned space, it's going to have heat and AC.
Do we know how, would it be running continuously? Is it something that triggers? Is it just like a light? Is it just our staff during work, just operating hours or?
I can get that.
You can put a programmable.
Why don't you answer?
Well, I can find that answer and email everybody so everyone's on the same page. But as of right now, I don't know. It's a box we can check if we want that option or we can move forward with the unit as is.
I just am curious about the ongoing costs of operating it and how much it would be.
If it's a mini split, it sounds like it is. That's one of the most efficient units. I put them in my rent houses. It's heat pump heating, so it takes out humidity during the winter also. Air conditioning takes out humidity. So it is a very efficient, usually a very high SEER. We don't own that one, but as a general rule, it would be good.
That's good to know.
Now they're not... There again, it's one of those, it's not really expensive heat pumps you can put in, very cheap. But because this is geared towards this, we don't know what we're dealing with.
And if we don't put one in now, but we decide to put one in later, it's going to be much more expensive, I guess, in the future.
Well, so They don't recommend retrofitting it because of the warranty, but...
And drilling through a concrete wall.
Right. And
you might hit rebar. You might hit, who knows? Yeah. I mean, there's a way to x-ray it, but still, it's difficult.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they're going to make, on a, to give you a little background information, a mini split has about a 3-inch hole to go into your wall. I'm sure when they're pouring that concrete, they're probably going to set it, and it will be a perfect hole versus trying to cut it. So
it's pretty efficient.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I think now's the time to do it if we're going to do it.
Maybe on the future restrooms, we might think about talking to a contractor about building, and we could make it more Woodway design with a big W on it, or say in Woodway or something in a concrete wall, kind of like they have.
Yeah, and
in Waco, the park down by the river.
Yes, sir. Right now, there's a shed out there that'll be relocated, and there's like a mural on the side of it. But we were, because of where it's stationed, we wanted to decorate it,
sure.
Get it to blend it in more, to Woodwayize it.
Any other discussion? How did this item come up again?
How did what?
Refresh my memory.
When we were talking about the prefab version of this?
Was it something that someone here asked about?
Cause y'all instructed staff to get a price for the AC.
I know we did that part, but I can't remember who was the original person or how this conversation actually came about.
I think I asked staff. About it. I think I asked about it.
Yeah, city staff had brought it up.
Well, I think I asked about it because of the splash pad being right there, okay. and folks going in to get changed, and I just thought it's going to get pretty humid in there.
Yeah, it was on our capital outlay sheet or projects list, but a location hadn't been determined, and that's where I relied on Lindsay and Jack and that team to say, where's the foot traffic, where's the need, considering weddings and other events and use. Where's the best strategic place if we're going to do one? Where do you want it? And that's what they recommended.
Yeah. And it could connect to electrical and...
Yes, yes. Water sewer is right there. Electrical's closest on that end of the building. So there'd be minimal trenching involved. No trees or anything to be removed. So...
Great. Give an electrician $3,000 and you're good.
Any further discussion or questions on this? All right. If there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion on item number 8, please.
I move that we... I'm just going to say so moved.
Okay.
So moved.
You're going to move.
That we accept the... addition of insulation and climate control on the approved CTX Incorporated precast restroom facility.
And I'll second.
Okay. For an amount not to exceed the $23,750.
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously.
I need it right this time.
Yes. We now have air conditioning at one bathroom. That's great. Wonderful. Okay, item number 9, discussion and consider action authorizing a change order for an amount not to exceed $425,000 to an existing contract with John W. Irwin General Contractor for the new Woodway Family Center to make repairs and improvements to the existing parking lot and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion.
It's been moved.
Question. Could somebody say a word about certain materials? What materials?
Yep. Okay. Let's open this up.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you.
And then we'll be able to talk about the materials.
Mr. Manager, number 9, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. John Irwin was our contractor on the new family center, which included a new parking area, entrance into that. There was also work done on the sewer line project. This is to make all those repairs using this change order. The work will take about 8 weeks. And Councilman Avell, what was your question?
Certain materials.
On I-10.
Help me, where are you at on that?
What material?
Wait a minute, item 10?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not there yet. So
yeah.
I'm sorry for the confusion. Your estimate of cost for the change orders on page 237, and there are some drawings that the engineer and architect put together that begin on page 239. There will be some removing of islands in the old parking lot to line up the drive-through and restriping and all for the total project when it's completed.
We have about the same amount of parking places that we had before. Are we going to gain any, or what's going to happen?
I can only tell you what we'll end up with. I don't recall what we had as an original count. Mr. Davison, do you know?
No. We added some.
We're adding some space, but we're losing some as well. I think in all it's about.
It's going to be a wash.
It's pretty close to
a wash. Okay, that was why I was thinking there was going to be some that... I had thought at one time that it would be
They're
good.
Going to be closer.
Yeah.
Well, we have some handicap spacing. Yeah.
Up front. Yeah, correct. Yeah. I had thought at one time it would be a good idea to have a drive-through on this side of the building to connect, but I see that we're going to be using them for parking places, which are needed. We do have this drive-through right here. Mm-hmm. So I thought it'd be nice to have two, but I think it's probably best to keep it the way it is.
Mitch?
I was just going to say to Councilman Russell that we are adding a throughway from community services parking lot where you pull around the building.
The way I was saying...
Right now it's a dead end. We are going to push through that and make it connect.
That would be good. I thought that we was going to have parking places there.
There's going to add some parking, and then as part of that, we're also going to make that open.
I think that would make it good.
That's the plan. Yes, sir.
In the future, because I don't think we're going to have enough parking.
I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah, I still don't believe we're going to have anywhere close to enough parking. In the future, we might want to consider, and this is a big thought, where the ball fields are, make them parking, and put the ball fields on the other side of the creek. That would probably double our space. Mm-hmm. Nothing that we can deal with right now, but just a thought for the future.
Any other discussion or questions about the additional improvements to the parking lot? All right, I'll entertain a motion on item number 9, please.
Okay. I move that we approve and authorize the city manager to extend the contract for an amount not to exceed $425,000. With John Irwin General Contractors for the Woodley Family Center improvements.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Good. Awesome. Thank you all. Hopefully that's the last change order so we can get this thing open. Okay, item number 10. Discussion and consider action on Ordinance 24-01. Amending Chapter 11, Section 11-3 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Woodway, Texas, Declaration of Additional Public Nuisances, establishing regulations regarding the open storage of certain materials in a residential district. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, item number 10, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. A few months ago, you had a couple in here complaining about noise, light, and harassment from a neighbor. And one of the things that we dealt with or tried to deal with was things stored in the neighbor's yard being called yard decorations or other items. Mm. And so in order to enforce things that we... or some may consider junk, or things that should not be collected in the front yard and stored temporarily or permanently, we had to go back and address this ordinance. And this gives you the ability to now interpret and define what can be stored in the front yard. You also have an update to an ordinance made by the same family on what materials can be used for a fence, because that was the other part of the complaint. But that has to go to planning and zoning first before it comes to you. And so you will see that in an upcoming meeting. But this addresses part of their original concern, and it's not just in that one neighborhood, it's throughout the city, but it was caused by that complaint we heard here at council meeting, so that y'all have a practice of always responding to requests. Thank you.
So will we define what those items are that can't be
as best you can, because you get into legal issues about what is art, what is not art, and what is junk and what is not junk. David?
Sure. Let me address this. A key consideration for the council as you think about enacting this ordinance is, number one, this ordinance applies only to a residential district, so this isn't going to extend to our commercial and industrial spaces. Number two, it only applies to the front and side yards. This doesn't affect what's in a person's backyard or out in a storage shed or what they might store elsewhere on their property. Things that council wants to be cognizant of and sensitive to are the effects that open storage of certain materials, and I'm going to talk about what those certain materials are, have on public safety and welfare. Things like, are these places that you're going to have rodents or vermin nesting? Are these the kinds of places where you're going to have unwanted insects accumulating and propagating and that kind of thing? And so as you move those conditions closer to the road, closer to the more shared spaces of the public, their impact on neighbors changes. And so that's why this ordinance falls here in the nuisance category, but not in a zoning category. And that's why you can hear it today without it going to the P&Z. So as you're considering this ordinance and this language, that should be forefront in your mind, is how this, how shaping the front and side yard of our residential community affects the public safety, welfare, and well-being of our community. So with that in mind, what this ordinance adds to the nuisance provision is furniture other than furniture designed for outdoor use. So things like people's indoor couches out in their front yards. Right? I mean, you can imagine the rodent harborage and the things you would expect to find in that. So storing in people's front and side yards in a residential area, storing furniture other than furniture designed for outdoor use, household items like refrigerators, mm-hmm. things of that nature. Products of a commercial trade or business enterprise. So someone who's got a handyman business might not store their tools and materials out in the front. Welcome to have it in the back, not in the front.
Behind a
Mr. Shaw,
fence, most likely.
Mr. Shaw, rodents can get into a couch on the backyard just as much as in the front yard, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
I mean, so wouldn't that be a public nuisance as well?
Well, and there is a... Yes, to the concern that Ray that brought this matter to the council's attention and the city's attention. Mm-hmm. Yes, and there are other parts of the nuisance ordinance that address kind of dangerous conditions that are kind of overborne or are infestation
yeah.
type. So what this is designed to be concerned about is from the street view.
Yeah.
What might we be able to see and regulate? What might an officer be able to, while he's patrolling and driving by, investigate without needing a warrant or probable cause? He can see it from the street. So for your public safety departments, maybe ease of enforcement, concentrating this to the publicly visible areas.
Unfortunately, if they have a privacy fence, they can be a little messy on the other side.
Sure. And, you know, for out of respect for property rights, as long as that doesn't bleed over or cause a problem for the neighbors or raise a nuisance or infestation concern, mm-hmm. then by
all means. Are we going to be talking about what a privacy fence is made of? Like,
that'll be a separate discussion for a separate day.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So to continue here, materials for a public trade or public enterprise tools, building materials not currently being used. So if you're using something currently, fine. But we're not going to store materials out in the front. And then other than collection times, approved trash containers are allowed in the front or side yard. So the city's not trying to, by this ordinance, say you can't keep your trash bins where you're used to keeping them. Mm-hmm. So those are specifically accepted.
That's more lenient than Waco. Waco says you're supposed to have a partition that covers it on the side. So mm-hmm. that's being more lenient.
So, yeah. And then there may be case by case. The question the city manager raises of what's art, what's expression, what's other things. We're going to have to take those up case by case. There's no perfect ordinance that can define art versus storage. But it's like so many things, we trust that our officers will know it when they see it. And if taken to the municipal court, so will our juries.
Well, Mayor, the item of certain materials is certainly vague in this potential ordinance. But what makes it passable is a city inspector can say, hey, move that stuff in your backyard. And that gives it a certain, reasonableness as a way of dealing with the problem. And obviously, you don't want to go into a long list of what is permitted and not permitted.
We had a resident down Bosque for many years, had a large mess that, of course, everybody drove down Bosque would see, and it was always sitting out. We couldn't do anything. She's moved. But
my thought is that if a neighbor is having issues with rodents because of a sofa on the neighbor's backyard, the neighbor should be able to report that. But if the officer comes and says, I'm sorry, that's in the backyard, not in the front yard. Mm-hmm. That's where I have the...
Let me address that, because I was able to scroll up. In that same nuisance ordinance, G addresses rat and mice infestation of structures and motor vehicles. O addresses accumulation of human, fowl, or animal excrement among private property, which interferes with the comfortable enjoyment of private property by persons of ordinary sensibilities in the vicinity thereof, i.e. your neighbors.
Okay, right. so that covers everything.
So some of those are addressed, some of those concerns are addressed in others, but this is specifically what's visible from the public's view, from the front
road. Yep.
How might those nuisance conditions
Absolutely.
Affect the public?
Absolutely. So that's what this I'm crystal clear on that. I just wanted to make sure that somebody could report a issue coming from a neighbor's backyard and not be told, sorry, the ordinance only applies to the front yard.
We deal with enforcing health and safety violations in people's backyards, fences or no fences. We've already had that authority.
Okay, great.
People either comply or they go to municipal court.
Okay, perfect.
So if you haven't looked at the ordinance recently, this is item S, down the list of things that the city has addressed. So it's not like this is one of two or three things. This is
awesome.
Something that's needed.
That definitely puts me at ease. Okay.
So I don't know how it is here in Texas, but in Indiana, the health department also picked up on health nuisance or health issues. And so I would assume that the county and the health department have some jurisdiction and whether or not it is a health issue. So, and David, you may know more about this than I do.
And really the question here is what enforcement powers are you going to put on
Police department, yeah. Okay.
Good point. All right, great discussion. Are we comfortable with how the ordinance feels right now?
Sure. I have one question probably best answered by you, Mr. Shaw. On P, at the very end, it says adopted by a governmental authority. I would think the wording would be better to say adopted by this city
or city council
or this, governmental entity instead of a. That could be anything, anywhere.
I don't want to get too deep into that because we're not posted to talk about that except as it relates to this nuisance ordinance, but we can certainly visit that.
Do I need to read the ordinance before we...
No, after the motion is made, before the vote, you'll read the ordinance.
I can read the ordinance. Okay. Just wanted to make
sure. Caption.
Thank you. All right, if there's no further discussion or questions, I'll entertain a motion on item number 10.
I make a motion that ordinance 24-01, amending chapter 11, section 11-3 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Woodway, Texas, declaration of additional public nuisances, establishing regulations regarding the open storage of certain materials in a residential district, be accepted.
Second on that one. Thank you, Councilwoman Gilman. I'm going to read the ordinance now. Ordinance 24-01 is an ordinance of the City of Woodway, Texas, amending Chapter 11, Section 11-3 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Woodway, Texas, declaration of additional public nuisances, establishing regulations regarding the open storage of certain materials in a residential district, providing for a severability clause, and finding and determining that the meeting at which this ordinance is adopted was noticed and has been open to the public as required by law. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it. The motion carries unanimously, and this ordinance is adopted. Thank you, Council. Item number 11 is discussion and consider action on purchasing and upfitting a Chevrolet Tahoe in an amount not to exceed $32,468 from Caldwell Country Chevrolet under the cooperative purchasing agreement with Byboard, and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. May I have a motion, please, to discuss?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Dr. Oubre, number 11, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This was a vehicle that was involved in an accident out of town while the officer was at training. It was a no-fault accident of ours. The other driver was at fault. Although it totaled the vehicle, fortunately, there was little or no injuries to our officer as well as the other driver. The vehicle value and equipment was totaled and estimated at $27,400. A new Tahoe under the cooperative agreement purchase with Buy Board is $43,668. The time you put the new equipment and the striping and dress it all out, that's another $16,200, which brings us up to be $32,468 short, which we would come out of contingency and or items left in his overall operating budget towards the end of the year. So for right now, he's got it on hold, and we're asking you to approve the expenditure of $32,468 to make the purchase.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Staff recommendation is to approve this expense. Any discussion? Questions? All right.
Would APD's doing a fine job. They need the equipment.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion to purchase and upfit a Chevrolet Tahoe in an amount not to exceed $32,468 from Caldwell Country Chevrolet under the cooperative purchasing agreement with Byboard, and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. All right, moving on to our consent agenda. This is items 12A through D. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any other city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Mr. Manager, any special comments on the consent agenda?
Just two. I left off when we did the budget, the use of park special events permit application, and we did have one come up for its use, and that's how we found out that I had left it off. So we're adding that for $100 user fee. The other thing is our Captain Adams retired from our city and went to work as assistant chief for the city of Robinson. He also was issued a bulletproof vest. These are not exact form fitting, but it was bought for his specifications, and Robinson instead of waiting to order theirs, is offered to buy it for what we paid for it originally. It's a brand new vest. And so in order to be able to make this transaction, you have to approve it. And so we're asking you to approve the sale to the city of Robinson in that amount. Those are my comments.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Council, you have the consent agenda before you. Are there any items that you'd like removed for separate discussion?
No.
Great. Well, I will entertain a motion on approving the consent agenda as stated.
I'll make a motion.
And I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved as stated. Thank you so much. That was item number 13. Item number 14 is executive session. Notice is hereby given that a closed meeting will be held pursuant to section 551.0712 of the government code that authorizes a governmental body to consult with its attorney in an executive session to seek his or her advice on a matter in which the duty of the attorney to the governmental body under the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct of the State Bar of Texas clearly conflicts with this chapter. I will close the public meeting at 6:41 for the executive session. Thank you. Reconvening and opening the public meeting again at 7:13, coming out of executive session. Okay, item number 15, city manager and city council reports. City manager report is item number 15. Mr. Manager, do you have anything for us?
No, no, sir.
No comment. Okay, thank you so much. Number 16, number 16 are the city council reports. Council, do we have any reports or updates?
There will be a P&Z meeting tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? All right, well, there being nothing else, I'll go to number 17, action on adjournment. May I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 7:13 p.m. Thank you.